for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Every day in the nice little Canadian town of Beaver Mount, Ontario, is pretty much the same. Folks are polite, there's a hockey game that evening, and someone gets brutally murdered. Sorry About the Murder, a very Canadian murder mystery podcast. New episodes weekly. Listen to season one now by typing Sorry About the Murder into your favorite podcast app.
Ah, ben là!
Hi, I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country, like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network.
Previously on Dungeons & Dragons.
Sorry, do you know where the Temple of Aghma is?
The Temple of Aghma?
Yeah, that's the one.
Here we call it the Leaves of Learning. You can see the peak of it just over and off to the east there.
That's fantastic. Thanks, Grandma. Oh, order's up!
Yes? Is there something I can help you with?
Hello. My name is Sullivan Slight, and I am here in search of a particular scroll.
Now that you mention it, there was a fellow in, an elven fellow with a weasel, and who gave me saying that somebody was coming for Leighton Menda's scroll, so this is good.
Yes, that's
yes.
me.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, thank you so much.
On that eighth day, you reach the edge of the city of Serloon.
Guys, do you see that?
The two goggles humping over there?
No, so that symbol, that's a dragon, that's the cult of the dragon.
What?
Do you think they must be gone, right? Like, that can't exist anymore. The decimators came and
Yeah, for sure. I'm just going to cover myself with a blanket in the back of this wagon, just for no reason.
Have a good nap.
You hear a door, like, booted open. Hey, Benty, we got to get down to the ship there.
Yeah, buddy, I'm coming. Come on, hold your horses. They'll wait for us.
Guys, can Rolf go any faster?
Welcome to Dungeons & Dragons, we're a D&D 5th edition actual play podcast that you can find on your iPod. I'm your Dungeon Master, Russ Moore, and with me today is Tom Laird.
That's me, I play Moot.
And Amy Moore.
That's me, I play Sullivan Slight.
And Carla Maxted.
That's me, I play Glim.
And you can find us on your iPod, as well as everywhere you download podcasts, because you've already found us, but that's how you can sell us to your friends. We're available on an iPod. And to Tom's mom.
Yep.
That is a weird thing to say.
Well, the context is...
With a little context.
Yeah, yeah. She was inquiring about the podcast, and she called it an iPod.
Aww,
yeah, it was so very sweet.
How's your iPod going, Tom?
But when Russ needs to come up with something to ask everybody, he's just going to use that good mom topicality.
Good wholesome mom humor.
Yeah. Yep, that's right. Where we have things that are less wholesome is over on Patreon, patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. Now, depending on the character,
just a
it could
den
be
of filth over there.
Super wholesome, like Opalite Brightcliff, super wholesome.
Super wholesome.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas yeah. wants to hire Elia, a child army, super wholesome.
Right? I didn't end up hiring a... Wait, no,
but
spoilers.
You wanted to.
Spoilers. Spoilers! I'm fine.
Well, then don't you say spoilers.
I didn't. I bleeped out everything that I said, and you guys are just giving the spoilers now. But patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. When you're a patron, you get an episode dedicated to you, like today's patron, John Evanitsky.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
I think our patrons have the best names, hey?
Yeah, they really
it's
do.
Always so much fun. Evanitsky. Oh, I like that. Good.
That's going to be one of those words. Carla and I are so weird like this that sometimes we'll get a word stuck in our head that will just exist in there for no reason.
Might be one of them.
Evanitsky, that's like what I'm going to be saying to myself later. I know it's not a word, it's a name, but it's just like pleasant.
Yeah,
it's just
agreed.
Delightful.
Patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. Go check it out. We would love to have you over there. And now, fuck it, let's play D&D. You're in the streets of Serloon, just arrived and are overlooking the harbor when Sully did some increasingly weird things and hid himself under a blanket, which, you know, could be construed as odd. Two gentlemen walk past you, Moot and Glim, rough-talking individuals. One of them kind of bumps into the cart and looks at you and says, "Hey, move your cart here. There's not supposed to be carts right in my way here."
Well, I mean, we are in the road, and so are you, so...
Exactly. Is I.
Okay, well, we're heading on our way.
You start moving Rolf, and they start walking beside you. So what, we going the same way, or what?
Well, it looks that way. We wouldn't really be facing in this direction in our carriage with our donkey if we weren't going this way. It wouldn't make sense, would it?
Hey, it's a fine-looking donkey there. Hey, do you give out donkey rides?
No. Rolf doesn't like anyone riding on him.
Ah, see, Barty, nobody says no to us, do they?
No, they don't. My friend here, he wants to ride your donkey.
Well, the donkey's tied up to the cart right now, and he's pulling us, so he's busy. I'm not sure what else to say. A donkey can't be both ridden and pulling a carriage at the same time, and he's clearly pulling a carriage, so I think you maybe... Look, there's another donkey just over there. You could probably go ride that one.
Nah, I like this one. And he pulls out his dagger, and he moves towards the reins.
I'm so uncomfortable right now, just as Amy. I just want to say that this interaction has, like... my palms are sweaty. I really don't.
He's got them in his hand.
No, sir, please don't do that.
What are you going to do?
I would really prefer if you didn't do that. You're going to need to step away from Rolf.
Wouldn't you prefer if I didn't do this? And he lifts the reins and puts the dagger to the reins.
I'm going to
intimidate him. You're a dragonborn.
Yeah, I'm going to breathe some fire at him.
Oh, shh.
Fuck him, he's not taking my donkey. Beat it, loser.
Sully's in the back like, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit.
Okay, so you're breathing fire on him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think you got to, do I roll or dexterity? I think I roll dex.
How does fire work?
Yeah, dex.
They're both going to be in line, so... we'll say Barty's got a 21, Benty's got a 9.
Okay, so one saves and one fails. And so half on the success.
Oh, damn.
Only because I rolled 2d6 and I rolled 2 6s. So yeah, 12 damage on the one and 6 damage on the other.
The gentleman you've come to know as Benty, who's holding the reins with his dagger, takes the full brunt of your fire breath. His clothes alight, and as the flame dies down, you see like blistering all over his skin. Barty takes some off to the side, but manages to kind of roll out of the way and says, "Excuse you! You're burning my friend here for just trying to take a little donkey ride?" And he pulls out a blade. Roll for initiative.
Can I also roll, but...
Yeah.
I'm gonna...
Yeah, okay. No, you roll.
Okay. 15.
20.
15.
You may go first.
I figured you were probably going to be remaining in your blanket until the last possible moment.
Maybe. I'm having some, you know, like, do you confront your childhood captors and abusers, or do you stay silent and scared? It's what's happening within Sully and also Amy at this moment right now, because this whole thing, like, okay, I just need to say that unreasonable requests from people who feel like they are reasonable requests to people who obviously know that the requests are unreasonable, like, for some reason creates an anxiety within me, like, like, what do you mean you want to ride my donkey?
Agreed.
The donkey is hitched to a cart.
No, it's so alarming.
It's alarming. It makes my hands sweaty.
Okay. Top of initiative. Glim, you are up first.
So I am going to... I'm going to pull out my war pick.
Okay.
And I am going to try to hit him with it. I feel like I don't even know how to
we very rarely have been fighting.
Oh, comfortable. Well, I rolled a 20.
Oh yes, you did.
So who are you attacking? Sorry.
Please destroy my childhood captors.
The one that's less burned, that was giving me some lip, I believe, was really giving me some attitude.
Yes. Yeah. Barty, yep.
Yeah, Barty. Fuck that guy. Hey. So I am going to hit him with my war pick, and I am also going to use my divine smite. So when I hit, I can use a spell slot to get 2d8 radiant damage. The war pick damage will be 18, and then the radiant is going to be 8 more.
God.
Okay, so describe this to me. Okay, so Benti comes over. He threatens to cut. Has not yet cut, but threatens to cut.
You're making your sound straight up unreasonable.
Is about to cut the reins. You fire.
After being warned multiple times not to.
After being multiple times warned not to, sure. They were pushing the boundaries, absolutely. And we're probably going to follow through. You fire breath him full on in the face to the point where he has third degree burns.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as his friend approaches, you immediately leap up and deal
26
various types of damage to this gentleman. Okay, got it.
Whew. Just to be clear, I know Glim's a real goody-goody.
But she stands for good.
But she stands for good, and she is neutral good. Like, if this follows her code, this is fine.
I get
she
it.
Feels
yep.
no guilt about this.
Yep.
He was clearly being totally unreasonable. And if people are reasonable with Glim, she's going to be reasonable with them.
But if not, these she's going to fucking kill you with her war pick.
In like one hit.
I also maybe Glim doesn't know her own strength yet so much. She has only done a lot of practicing, not a lot of actual like.
That's true.
Fighting.
Like, so, oh, that just killed man.
So maybe that was.
So dude's not dead, but he does take a huge hit. He's knocked prone. He's bleeding quite profusely. As you kind of pull your war pick back up. You hear heavy footsteps coming from down either side of the street. Like armored footsteps.
Uh-oh.
Moot, your turn. Unless there's anything else you want to do.
No, I think I've done enough.
Okay, Moot.
Oh, geez.
So that's what you have before.
I peek out from and see like people, like armored guards running essentially towards us.
Not running, but they're like with purpose walking towards you at this point.
Some clomping in the distance.
Guys, maybe we want to get going.
I think that's a really good idea.
Maybe we made our point. Also, Glim, I love you.
I'll tell you why later.
I'll tell you why later, but we should probably just get out of here.
Okay, yeah, no, I didn't, I mean, that, okay, yeah, I agree. Let's just try and go. Let's go.
They're both down on the ground. Let's hightail it out of here.
Let's get out of here. Okay, Rolf, come on, buddy. Maybe pick it up a little bit.
I was like, I would have kicked him off anyway.
A couple passerbys see you leaving the scene.
It was a smite and run.
And rush over to the two men who are knocked down prone. One, like, crying out in burn pain. The other one, seemingly unconscious. You can't quite tell. And begin yelling after you as two guards roll around the corner. Moot, you can still do anything you want. I'm going to say that we're still in technical combat order here. Maybe make... I don't even know. What do you want to do, man? What do you want to do?
I mean, I feel like we're just... I don't have any, like, illusion magic or anything to, like, throw him off the trail. Oh, maybe I'll try creating a bonfire right behind us so that, like, no one can follow us.
Okay.
Is there an open space to do that? I don't want to hurt anyone.
I'm assuming everyone's going to jump out of the way if you do, so...
Perfect.
You know, there's a space...
All right, I will try and create a 5-foot cube of fire.
Our retreating carriage is going to leave a space in our wake, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It'll be like Back to the Future with the tire treads that are on fire.
Exactly. Yeah, we don't want to hurt any innocents.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Is there even any in this town?
Okay, so yeah, the bonfire erupts like under the tail of your carriage. It takes up the better part of the middle of this, leaving it sketchy to get past on either side. A few people kind of jump back, some who were like calling you out, and then this erupts in front of them and they take a step back. You see the guards coming up to the scene. One of them looks down. One of them is walking towards you still. Make a wild magic roll, please. 4 or lower.
15.
5 or lower next time.
Yep.
He's going to get you.
How, so
oh, as, it's going to happen.
As this builds up in Moot, you and I had kind of talked about, you know, creating some sort of physicality to this. How does Moot look the more this wild magic is building in him?
Ooh, good question. Maybe just like his hair becomes a little more unkempt than it was previously. Like, you know, it just, no, it gets like a little bit crazier. Like,
okay.
It like, just is it growing? Kinda,
maybe a little bit, not like noticeable amount, but a like little bit Russ every amount? Time. Yeah, like Russ amount.
Okay.
But he'll be Doc Brown by the end. It's all Back to the Future this episode.
Yeah. Got it. Okay. Yeah, cool. Your hair gets more unkempt.
Well, though, I can see that he gets like kind of like raggedy and wilder,
kind of wild
looking.
Right?
Like, yeah, because I imagine Moot to be part down the side of his hair, combed over a bit, like very and, like, straight laced,
put together. Yeah,
and I think maybe he just gets like sloppier and messier and like kind of like
I think
wild.
Yeah, I think maybe like the higher it gets, depending on where you're, you know, switching wild magic, fire, wind, ice, whatever it might be. Like maybe that, as we get higher than a 5, like maybe around the 10 mark, maybe there's some sort of like elemental physicality that comes to
oh, sure.
You've got
like
frosted
that.
Yeah. Tips.
Exactly, oh. Right? It's uncamped and frosted, bitches.
Bam!
But yeah, maybe like if we get to that point or when we get to that point, right? Like, you know, bringing some sort of that elemental wild magic to it as well.
Sure.
That'd be really cool. Okay. Sully.
Has anyone walked out in front of our...
No.
Okay.
There are people who, as you're kind of... as quickly as Rolf will go, going through the streets, kind of dodging out of the way, looking at the big fire behind, not really knowing what's going on, looking to you, but more focused on the burst of flames that has just shot up in the street.
I am still hidden under the blanket, but I'm going to ready an action with my short bow under there. And as soon as we are stopped by guards, I want to just peek out of my blanket and let loose an arrow.
At a guard.
Well, okay. I mean, Sully does things.
Okay.
Sully's freaked out.
That's been established.
You know what? Glim's got to attack something. Moot just set a big fire in the street. You're worried about me shooting an arrow at a guard? All right, let's fucking do this.
All right. You continue down the street.
I'm unreasonable.
You're looking out the front or the back, Sully?
I think I'm looking at the back. And I think that we are probably moving at a fairly good clip, that the cart itself is like bumping along the road. So me like shifting under a blanket isn't going to hopefully be
also
noticeable at all.
If we're saying that it's bumping the physical contents of the cart, it's also going to impose disadvantage on whatever shot you
have. Never mind. It's not bumping. It's super smooth sailing.
I was actually going to say, I don't think we're going to like, once we get like a little ways away, then I don't think we're going to be trying to rush. Like, we're going to try and look normal.
Okay. So
yeah, you know what I mean? Sense. Like, we're not like speeding through the streets, because then everyone we pass is going to be like, yeah, I saw that carriage. It was fucking crazy.
Yeah. They were just going to be like,
the fire,
something.
The arrows.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, you're making your way down.
I think I'm looking out the front with.
Okay, cool.
Because I'm still kind of whispering at them and stuff.
The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today. Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now, and more than 60 others, can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now, you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Civilized and Realms of Peril and Glory. Fable and Folly Plus. Sign up today at fableandfolly.com/plus.
As you kind of get down to the end of this one lane that you're on, you hear like a jumping leap and land. And as Moot and Glim, as you kind of look over your shoulder, one of these helmed guards has leaped through the flames in the street and has landed down and is now beginning to run towards you. I think we're going to enter a chase in this moment, because I don't
chasing.
I don't feel like direct combat is what you guys want to do in this moment.
Well, no, it's certainly
well,
not
with the guards, that's for sure.
Okay, so let me pull up the chase mechanics. We're going to keep everybody except Amy has played the chase mechanics, because we did it in the episode with Rev and Lex and Margaret and stuff. Chase comp.
So it's not like the same as a race. No, like dinosaurs.
It kind of is.
There's similarities.
Forgot about the dinosaur race.
Right? Running
and the chase.
There's so
many fucking things we've done on this podcast that I've completely forgotten about.
Do you guys remember that there's trains in this world?
What?
I don't believe that.
Wild. So chases. Blah, blah, blah. Running the chase. Reminder for those and for those new, when you're running a chase, everybody's strongly motivated to dash every round. So we're going to say, how quickly can a donkey move? Because you're being pulled by a donkey.
Donkey D&D Beyond?
Donkey.
D&D Beyond.
D&D Beyond, that's right.
Donkey or mule.
It's a speed of... Nothing. Check out horse, and then maybe let's like take it down 25%.
just take your back there.
Just gear it down a little.
I just feel like
fast on a horse.
Gear down
a little.
So a horse is 60 feet. I'd say probably
40.
40 is probably good. So we're gonna
say
you've
got reasonable.
Yeah,
a 40 foot.
Because if normal walking speed is 30, you'd want it to be like kind of faster than that. Otherwise,
yep. Why have a fucking donkey? Other than they're adorable.
Other than adorable, they carry all the stuff. You don't have to walk.
They have
I mean,
these
there's
personalities.
Reasons,
they will protect a farm. Go get yourselves donkeys, folks.
Or a donk, a mini donkey. They're so cute.
Chase, you're strongly urged or usually urged to dash. You can dash an equal number of times to 3 plus your constitution modifier, which in the case of a donkey, we're going to say is 0. So you can go 3. Constitution, a donkey might have a higher constitution than a horse.
I would think so.
So let's say that the donkey has, a plus 2. So we can say you can dash 5 times because a horse has plus 1. If you go over that, we'll deal with that if we get there. Spells and attacks means you don't move as far. You can still move your regular stuff, but you can attack.
Now, how does that work being as we're being pulled by a donkey?
Do we each roll for the donkey?
We're going to say that the donkey gets around and that's your movement. So you, unless you jump out, you don't get movement on your turn. So I think that'll keep it equal. So you still get your turn. So in this case, you can react, act, and spell cast. So this is like a modified chase.
But we don't have
chase.
To worry about our individual movement.
But you, and then the donkey on its turn will dash.
Okay.
So, okay. And then at the end of your appropriate turn, roll a d20. That could cause a complication.
Okay.
For you or for your pursuers. Okay.
All right. Let's race.
The helm.
Chase.
Helm guard leaps through the fire and begins taking chase at you. I've got somebody roll the donkey into initiative here for me.
Please. I'll do it. That was a nat fucking 20.
Yeah, it was.
All right. So Rolf, Amy should play a donkey from now on.
Rolf is
amazing.
I think
that's what we, I, it's the so only thing that can come of this.
Yeah. So the donkey is top of the round. Donkey is going to dash
donkey
80
dashes.
Feet. Down, which brings you to the end of this street. There are people in the street kind of jumping out of the way. At this point, if you're trying to not seen, you can make a stealth roll with disadvantage because you're still within line of sight. So you can say if he kind of blends into the crowd or however that is. So somebody has to make a stealth roll for your group. So please roll.
What kind of modifier do we get? Because I've got a good stealth.
Well, it's not your stealth unless you... Yeah, because that would happen on your turn. Stealth is what?
Dex.
Plus 0.
Also, I would just like to say, during this, if everyone could please have the tune of Monster Mash in their heads, but saying,
oh, that's fun.
It's the dash. It is the donkey,
donkey dash.
The donkey dash.
Yeah. Oh, that's fun. Yeah.
Okay.
It was a smash.
Yep.
So continue with that in your mind, please.
It makes it more whimsical. I like it. Okay.
What'd you do, Carla?
I rolled a 1, so.
Yeah, you did.
Okay.
I mean, I can roll another one if you want, but it can't get worse.
The guard has locked eyes on you and, in fact, advances more because of your nat 1. So he closes the gap, even not on his turn.
We can take turns rolling that stealth, I think, each time.
Right. Yeah. That one was at disadvantage, too. If you hide around something, it makes it easier. Okay, it is Glim's turn. You see this guard coming towards you. You can act in any way you want, or we can skip an action if you don't want to. If there's something we can justify, like skills-wise, to aid in your...
Oh my god. Oh my god. I've planned.
That never happens.
It's not a good one.
Or is it? I don't know.
I think... For now, I am going to, just wait. Maybe, commune with Bahamut a little bit. Getting ready, trying to spur Rolf on in a non-demanding way, but just, through divine energy.
Barty's no longer in this. Moot.
What kind of, is it densely populated? That we're currently in?
It's fairly busy. The streets are probably 2 carriages wide before you get to doors and shops and stuff. There's people jumping out of the way as you are exiting.
Are there tall buildings on either side that maybe there's clotheslines? in between the two buildings and there's some clothes on them?
Yeah.
Perfect. I will cast Mage Hand with my Crab Claw and try and grab like a big towel or something and drop it right on this guard that's chasing us.
Okay. Make me a... Give me a dex roll for okay. the Mage Hand drop.
I can do that. That is an 18.
So your Mage Hand, your Crab Claw goes up, pulls just the biggest of towels down, and drops it right on top of this guard who is now like clawing at the face, slowed back down to where he was before your nat one. Roll me a wild magic roll.
And also, now it's Sully's turn.
Ooh, it's a 7.
Whoa!
That's dangerously close.
Next time it's a 6 or lower. Okay, Sully.
Oh, okay. Sully is not going to move at all, but inside his pack, and I knew I got these for a reason, he has one... Where is it? Where is it? He has one... a bag of 1,000 ball bearings. It's legit yeah. Right there.
Comes standard with rogues, but yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And so I let loose my bag of 1,000, like from under, like who knows, maybe it was a little crate underneath there that got knocked over and these ball bearings just come out and just start pouring out the back of this cart. And I'm hoping that he like fucking doesn't see him because he's got a blanket on his face and he like whoop, 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 kind of, you know, like comedic style slips on my ball bearings.
The guard still running, trying to get this towel off. People are moving out of the way. He clears it and you see him kind of as he is dashing towards you. You see people slipping from these ball bearings as they're spreading out through the street and he reaches them and collides with them. And you can't see his face, but if you could... It would be like the biggest look of panic as he begins to roll on these, and he rolled a nat one. So he goes sliding into one of the nearby stands and just it explodes like there's feathers for one reason or another. And this guard is like feet sticking out and over this stand as you two, as you three, four, including Rolf. Kind of make your way around the corner and peel off down the street.
I whisper, did it work?
Roll a stealth roll for whoever wants to do
that. I'll roll the stealth roll. I'm feeling lucky.
Makes sense that you would.
17.
It takes a little while, but you blend into the crowd again. You see some guards patrolling and almost like guards do, and they have their hand to their ear because magic... For no reason, and kind of surveying, but you've blended back in with the crowd. Maybe you've grabbed some things or like changed the organization of your carriage.
I put a hood on.
We took the top down.
Yeah.
That's right. And you are out of chase. Good work, everybody.
Wow, Sully.
The old towel and ball bearings trick.
Moot, you guys, that was amazing. Oh, wow.
Okay, guys, now's not the time to, like, I'm not going to come out from under this blanket until I absolutely have to, and now's totally not the time to talk about it, but I got, like, a real fucking dark past, and it seems to be catching up with me in this particular trip. We're going to have a conversation about it later, and I hope that maybe you guys don't hate me afterwards, because that would suck, but I mean, I would totally also understand, but maybe if we could just save Merv, that might scrub my halo clean a little bit more, and also then we might be able to, like, get the fuck out of here, and then maybe go back to Fuck City.
I mean, this dark past sounds like a lot to deal with, but yeah, we don't have time to get into it. Let's save Merv. Let's get to the ship. Let's do what we're here to do.
We may have to get like on the ship or something. Get out of here. I don't think we want to go back through this city.
I don't. This city. This is maybe the worst place we've been.
It's really bad.
You make it down to the harbor. It's a widespread down the coast of the city. You reach kind of the entrance point. There's many carriages coming and going with large crates. You blend your way in. You do see many more guards patrolling the area. None of them seem to have noticed you. You do see a few ahead, some doing like spot checks of different carriages that are entering the harbor area.
Guys, I think we should leave Rolf tied up here and maybe go on foot. We'll be less likely to be seen. We could like wear our hoods up and look just as inconspicuous as all these schmucks.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. I don't like the idea of... I feel like it limits our mobility a little bit if we're in the carriage, and this place is shady. I mean, a harbor normally is pretty shady, never mind in this town with all the goth everywhere.
I wonder if they have ducks down here.
I don't know.
A pretty good rapport with those other ducks from the dock ward.
That's true. I hope so. Be nice to see a friendly face.
Okay, so you enter.
Tie Rolf up, I think, just a little bit before the harbor. In, you know, like a regular carriage,
yeah, there's
animal parking stall.
Well, there's definite like stable type areas, yeah, and like tie up posts like near taverns and all that sort of thing. So there are absolutely places along the way and close to the harbor that you could do that. Reasonably, not just like dropping them on the side of the road.
Well, yeah, no, I don't want to do that. Yeah. I would also like to give a couple extra coins to the stable hand that I like pass them off to and be like,
listen, if we don't come back for him, you can keep him. He's a good donkey.
Okay. I've always wanted a donkey.
His name is Rolf.
Rolf?
Yes.
Oh, Rolf. If they don't come back, I'm going to treat you so well. I'm going to feed you apples and hay and wheat.
This weird prepubescent stable hand.
Oh, I hope you don't come back, but also it's very nice to know you.
You too. Take good care of our boy.
Of course, always. Thank you.
All always right. And forever.
I'm going to comb your hair and we're going to play dress up.
Guys, I think we should probably not come back for Rolf. It seems like this guy really needs a friend.
That's the only
really good home.
Only kind person in this whole city.
Thanks for doing that. I was like, I feel like we're likely going to get on a boat and not go back through here. And like,
I know.
Fuck.
And I did just almost murder some people to
exactly.
Save
exactly. So I'm like, oh my God, are we just going to leave this donkey on the side of the road after it got us out of trouble? And like,
no, we found him the very best home.
I feel much better about that.
All right. I got, everybody got the stuff that they need. I've got the scroll here in my bag.
Yeah. Yeah. We get all of our.
Do you guys have, like, do I have a disguise kit?
I don't know. You would be the one that would, I would
I
think.
Would. I was going to say, does anyone here have a disguise kit? But no, I do not. I guess that didn't come with the same kit as all those ball bearings.
Which you don't have anymore.
Which so. I don't have. I can't remove it, but.
I can't remove equipment.
It's just a magical replenishing ball bearing container.
You can manage your equipment. And also
oh, quantity from 1,000 to zero. That's okay. I'll get more later.
Well, you'll get more now. You know how handy they are, right?
You're going to have
2,000. Honestly, as I saw that was in my kit, my mind was just like, what can I do with 1,000 ball bearings? It was the thing that made me the most excited.
Fair.
Yes, okay. And as I get my things, I bring out a staff that I been like putting from cart to cart in all these different situations, and I bring it with me, and I hunch over a little bit, and I walk with a bit of a limp, and I put my hood up over my head, and here is my disguise.
Okay, do you other two disguise yourselves in any way, shape, or form?
You two fugitives, no one's seen me yet.
I know. I'm the 6'5" dragonborn that just flame blasted some people in the middle of town.
But yeah, you take the disguise. It's totally fine.
I don't want them to kidnap me again.
No, I think I'll just put on
I would have been like in my like traveling stuff. Like, I'm going to put on like a cloak and have it up over my head. Like, I can't change my size, but at least I won't be immediately noticeable for.
Well, and in a on the dock, like, I'm sure there's many different kinds of people. I assume it's very busy and there's
exactly.
Yeah.
I'll grab the comically large sun hat that we had in the wagon and I'll wear that.
Yeah, you will. With your slightly unkempt hair.
Slightly unkempt hair. Thank you for noticing.
It's hot out here. Yeah.
So hot today.
I do declare.
All right. You enter into the dock area, the harbor area. What do you do?
I don't know, maybe look around for a boat that has the same sigil as the one on the scroll.
I guess, the weird goat head?
Yeah.
I guess my question for you, Sully, is because you were given the direction that they would find you, you have disguised yourself. How are you being recognizable to some but not all people?
Just the fact that you're a halfling, maybe?
Maybe. I don't know. Hey, guys, maybe I should, like, sit over there somewhere holding the scroll in my hands. Maybe you guys could, like, be my bodyguards or something like that and, like, just keep an eye out for me and anybody approaching me. And then hopefully maybe they'll find me because I'm a halfling sitting here with a scroll. I think that might be obvious to some looking for a halfling with a scroll and not others looking for a halfling that may or may not have escaped a horrible situation.
I think it's as good an idea as any. I mean, I don't know. We can't. There's hundreds of ships here. We can't just go door to door.
Please don't let anybody put me in a burlap sack. Like, watch me.
We'll do our best to make sure that that doesn't happen again.
Okay, so cool. Pretend to be your bodyguards, but then also, if the need arises, also be actually your bodyguard.
Yes, yeah, please. Yeah. Yes, yes.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Okay.
All right.
It's the middle.
I thought we were going to do like the dice baby thing because that came up just a minute ago.
True.
And I was like, ooh, check out these fresh new D&D tracks we've got.
Oh, man, can we do a bad infomercial with like all D&D songs? All the favorites you know and love, like Roll to One.
Wah, wah. Sure. Yeah, let's do that. But also, let's tell people about a great charity event that we've got going on for the Trevor Project, where you can bid in an auction for a whole bunch of great things. But one of those things is me running a game for you.
What?
Pull yourself
and
much.
Your friends. Nobody else was saying anything. I have to sell myself.
Fair.
You should sell
yourself.
A little
prostitute-y,
you're
honey.
A great DM, and whoever wins the bid will be very lucky.
This is true.
That's true. The current bid is at $85. So, you know, that's
it's a bargain
a
for
cheap
some Russ Moore DMing.
With mm-hmm. Russ Moore.
Yep.
Okay, we've lost the motivation.
Yeah,
here.
No, and also I'm sorry. This isn't to have sex with Russ. I just thought I'd put that out there.
Whoa.
This is so that Russ will GM a game.
Russ is much more expensive
for you
than
and
that
your friends.
For sexual favors.
That's right. We're gonna have to bump that number way up.
Okay, so the whole reason behind this thing here is Dark Dice, our good friends over at Dark Dice there, which is Travis and Caitlin. They put together this cool event with all funds from this auction going towards the Trevor Project. And the Trevor Project is the leading national organization providing crisis intervention and suicide prevention services to the LGBTQ community, and more specifically, young people ages 13 to 24 every day. So we are helping them by contributing our time. And hopefully you are able to go bid on some of the awesome things. They've got really sweet art commissions done by amazing artists and renting different GMs from your favorite podcasts, one of which is me. So we'll link all that down in the description here. You can go check that out. It's going on until the end of June. And then whoever wins those bids will set up a time with the respective GMs or art commissioners to have their games run or characters drawn in the month of July. So hopefully you're able to go check that out and bid if it works for you. All proceeds go to the Trevor Project.
Now, Russ, if this goes till just the end of June, that's only a few days away, so people really need to get on it if they want to be a part of it.
Gotta be snappy.
Sorry to be quiet. I'm just emailing myself to remember to go look at that in case I want to try and get some art commissioned.
Do it.
This isn't just for listeners. I want to do
it's
it
for
too.
Everyone, yeah.
Careful, folks. You guys better get in there right
Carla
now because Carla is on it.
Carla's gonna, she's gonna be sniping bids left, right, and center.
At least
want
to
look. Watch out for her.
I want some commissioned art. It's a really good cause. This is awesome. I mean, I want to play with Russ, too, but I get to do that every week, so.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. We'd love for you to go check that out and have a great week. Now back to the episode.
Dice, dice, baby.
There it is. Do, 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 do,
do. So I go and I sit on, like, a bench?
Sure.
I don't know.
Okay, so.
You know, one of those big pieces of, like, cement that's.
I think this is going to be a performance role. Because you're trying to be conspicuous but not conspicuous
That's
at the same
true,
time.
I am.
You're trying to catch the attention of one specific individual versus perhaps a cult.
16.
I think that's good. You sit there for what seems like probably a few hours with many people moving by.
We're still under the 10-day mark, right? We're like at the 10-day?
Yeah, okay. We arrived at the city within the 8th day, I think I said. So you've got, in theory, a day and a bit in order to find this person or ship or whatever. And you're sitting there for a few hours and nobody so far has stopped you.
Do I see anyone with an albino weasel?
Negative.
I'd be really mad if you did. That fucker dropped the scroll off only to have it picked up and then pick it up again 8 days
later. Well,
maybe
he'd be able to steer us to the ship that we need to be on.
Maybe. He could have just took it with him, though, couldn't he?
Side note, you don't look at the scroll or anything, do you?
No, it's sealed with a wax seal, and I feel like if I were to open it, I'd probably be sealing Merv's death. So.
Fair enough. Okay, good to know. Okay.
Why should I?
You can do whatever you want. It's your character.
You. It's whatever.
I prep for all occurrences and have many tabs open. That's all I'm saying.
So we're sitting here for hours, you said?
Hours. So if you don't do anything in particular, several more hours pass by.
Yeah, I just like snack on some nuts and stuff. I have a rogue apple in my bag.
It's getting to be kind of late now. The traffic is dying down. People have like loaded up the ships. Doesn't look like anybody's kind of leaving at this point. The inbound traffic is slowed to a almost a stop. And just as you three have almost like given up for the night, there's quiet footsteps that begin approaching your direction. And it's because it's dark and kind of backlit from torches that line along the harbor, it is looks like about a five foot person with a hood, longer cloak for their person, walking in your general direction.
I kind of like straighten up a little bit and grip my staff a little tighter in one hand and then holding the scroll in the other. I peer at them and I nod.
You see them take like a half pause step and then continue walking towards you. And as they get closer, you hear Sullivan Slight.
Who's asking?
I represent Leighton Menda.
Cool.
You're supposed to have a certain article on you.
Like this scroll I'm holding very obviously in my hand right here?
He holds out his hand.
I place it in his hand.
He grabs it and tries to pull it from you.
I let go. Not a weirdo. I'm not going to pull him close and be like...
He looks at it and holds it up into the light. You don't really make out his face. You kind of see a silhouette in the light. And looks at it, examines the seal, kind of rubs his finger along it, and kind of feels the edges.
Oh, it's all there.
All right. Well...
Like, he's counting money. It's all there, trust me.
I believe it's all here. I'm looking at it. Just making sure you didn't open it for taking a readsies on your way over here.
Ain't none of my fucking business.
Now, we didn't think you was gonna make it.
That's a long shit.
It's a long fucking travel that you took. How'd you do it?
Merv is really important to me. You ever have a friend?
I have many friends.
Well, if one was kidnapped and someone else said that they'd die if you didn't do something really fast, that seemed quite impossible. Wouldn't you try every avenue to get it done?
Well, depends how much they owed me.
Okay, I don't think that we weight friendship in the same kind of way. Let's just say I pulled out all the stops.
All right.
When will I know that Merv is safe?
Oh, Merv is safe. Don't you worry.
Okay, no, but I am worrying. I was also told that before.
He holds out what looks like a clear glass ball. It tosses it to you.
What's this?
Just take a look in it.
I look inside it.
You focus.
Right, I'm going to get sucked into the ball, you guys.
You focus.
Are you guys watching me? Am I?
You focus on the
ball.
The
eye of Sauron.
I'm on sack patrol.
On you.
The two of you ready yourselves just to grab him from some sort of portal.
Yeah.
But no, you look at it and there's like, you see this cloudy gas moving inside, and inside you see that begins to take shape is the image of Merv. And he's seated in a cell. And the image that you see, or the scene that you see play out is, it looks like he hears a sound. He stands up and then begins to walk. And it's almost like this image is following him. And he walks past a guard and through a gate. And he's escorted out of a building and allowed to go free.
How do I know this is real?
Oh, it's real. It's a world of magic. You gotta believe what your eyes show you, unfortunately. I can't give you any more than what I can show you here. You trusted that we had Merv from the same sort of image.
I did.
Which brought you here. So, you trusted that much. You know Leighton Menda, he saved you. You did a solid for him. He's gonna do what he can to help you now.
Okay, good.
Your friends got a problem? They look a little antsy.
Oh, them? No, they're cool.
We're just on kidnap patrol.
I get kidnapped a lot. You understand.
I do. I do understand. All right. Might I have my ball back?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Thank you. You've seen enough?
Is there more? Did you guys give him a fishing boat?
Why would we give him a fishing boat?
Well, you know, he was.
That's not part of the deal.
I know. I'm just saying.
He snatches
like
the ball from
nice
your hand and says, it's been a pleasure doing business with you.
Yeah, you too. What's your name, friend?
Not any of your business.
Not any of your business. Very unique.
He turns and he begins to walk away. Safe travels home there, Sullivan Slight and Snatch Patrol.
Oh.
It's a fucking racing name you guys have now. Whoa. Snatch Patrol. We gotta head back. Head back to High Moon. Okay. Okay, so that went, I guess, fairly well. He showed me a picture, magic crystal ball, that showed me that Merv was safe and was let go. And I mean, that's cool.
I'm so glad. I really didn't know if we were going to make it in only 10 days, so I'm really happy that Merv's okay. I know that must be a big relief to you.
It really is. I really should have, now upon hindsight, maybe bought it a little bit, like to give him a fishing boat back, and like really kind of like set him up, you know, because he's a guy who deserves that. He was just snatched off his boat while fishing. Anyway, speaking of boats, we should probably see if we can get on one of these crews. I assume being on a boat is very much like doing a caravan.
Yeah, that's probably true. Don't we have to get some other things while we're here?
Yeah, there was the shipment for the magic store owner.
Oh, fuck. I didn't write that down. Moot, you took some notes. What are some things?
My notes literally just say, steal stuff for the magic store owner. Shipment from Aglarond.
You reach into your pocket in Sullivan's Slight, and you pull out a list that was given to you.
Oh, hey, would you look at that?
She
reverse pickpocketed me.
You unroll that list, and on it is a literal list of items that you are to find and bring back for Sharmi. On the list, you see there is a circlet with runes written in Infernal, approximate size teacup saucer, red and green writing. Also on the list, 6 alchemical jugs marked with the sign of Dagon. Also a selection of herbs that have been shipped over from Aglarond. Dreamflake, Sundrop, Sitara, Goji Leaves, and Styx Root.
You know how much I don't want to get this stuff?
I know, I was hoping we could kind of just get on a boat and get out of here. But it looks like we've got some shopping to do tomorrow. Or some...
We're gonna need better disguises.
Yeah.
I don't know, I'm kind of digging the sun hat.
The sun hat does look great. It does change your look.
The song Long Road Ahead is by Kevin MacLeod of incompetech.filmmusic.io. All other music and sound effects can be found at epidemicsound.com or boomlibrary.com. A huge thank you to our supporting producers, Gabriel Lynch, Joshua Dixon, Stevie, Jacob Madden, Cat Waterflame, Devin Michaels, and Christian Brown. To find out more about how you can support Dungeons & Dragons, visit us at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast, where you can have exclusive access to 50-plus hours of bonus audio content, create in-game NPCs and items, as well as play games with the cast. Patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. Have a great week, and we'll talk soon.
Because you know that they're crazy.
Yep.
Like, I remember being at, like, a street market, and there was these Hells Angels, and they came up to me, and I was, like, 22.
Very excited for the story right now.
And I was drinking a bottle of water, and the guy's like, hey, can I have a sip of your water? And I'm like, yes.
You can just have the rest.
You can just have it.
Yes, exactly. I was like, yeah, you bet. And he was like, takes a big drink and is like this huge, intimidating, scary man. And is like, oh, here you go. And I'm like, and I was like, no, you just keep it. That's great. And he's like, well, you don't want it back now? And I'm like,
oh, no, I'll take it back. Oh, yeah, it's fine.
Okay, no, I'll take it back. I'm glad you had a drink. Okay, bye. And just, like, try to merge into the crowd. But it's, yeah, so it's like, that's it's an like, unreasonable thing to ask a stranger.
And it's so unsettling. I'm unsettled right now. I feel like Russ put it in here because he was like, well, this is going to freak Amy out. Like, it's just, I don't like it.
That's fair.
All right, stop. Copyright infringement. Dungeons & Dragons is a Dumb Dragons production.
The Fable & Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
It's a tale of learning and healing.
We've got a whole province going to see one overworked witch in a candy cottage that's been chewed to pieces by the local kids.
Of fairies and magic.
You're touching the sapphire of assessment!
I'm not touching it! I'm just putting my hand near it as I focus my brainial waveforms on it.
Stop it!
I'm not even touching it!
Of struggle against the odds.
This is my team. They may not live up to your vision of a perfect, efficient department.
They don't live up to my vision of a stampede in a barnyard.
Ooh, Kingly, that's how you know it's working.
And now, it returns at last. Alba Salix, Royal Physician. Season 2.
Alba Salix, Royal Physician, from Fable and Folly. Find us wherever you listen to podcasts or look us up at fableandfolly.com.